Appreciate it, guys.
Hey, don't come up from there. Be
careful. That'll be fine. That'll be fine. Okay. Well, this will be fun. So I'm going to start everything off in prayer, so if you bow your heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. I thank you for the warmer weather out today. I pray that everyone got here safely. I just want to thank you again, Lord, for who you are. I pray that you put the words that you want me to speak into my mouth and calm my nerves, because I haven't been nervous up until this point. And I pray that you bless the rest of this fellowship we have here today. In your name I pray. Amen. So, I was really torn. I didn't know what I wanted to preach on. And I had absolutely no idea for like the longest time. Scott had been nagging me to preach for months and months and months. I think because he just doesn't want to preach anymore. But, you know, well, he's coming back up eventually. And it's funny that it all worked out that way. So I'd been praying to the Lord, what do you want me to preach on? What should I preach on? And I've told a couple of the fellas the story already, and it was actually kind of eye-opening and cool. So Anna's car had broken down, and which sucked. Scott came up with his Prius, so we could use it. I don't know why. He was already at my house, and he went back to his house because he was driving Uncle Gabe's old truck, and he went back to his house to get the Prius, back to my house, and then I had to drive him back to his house in the Prius. And then I went home. And super inefficient way of doing things, but it worked out really, really well. So we were listening to, it was a Josh Turner gospel album, just driving down. And I was just, it was good. We were having a good conversation. I dropped him off. I was headed home, just praying, just listening to the Lord's music. And I was just like, God, what do you want me to preach on? I don't know. I'm kind of nervous. I was like, I have no idea. And it was an Alan Jackson song, and it was wild. I kid you not when I say this, it was the Lord. That song, there was a song playing, and it skipped halfway through the song to a country song called Jesus Saves. And I was like, okay, God, I'll preach on that. I don't know why or how. I'm already tearing up. But it was cool. It was just, I felt God's presence there. And I was like, all right, so that's kind of where I'm going to go off of. I've got some notes and see if I can keep on topic. But so I've got some points. Jesus Saves is kind of the title, I guess, of my sermon here. And so I've got some points about love and peace. Obviously, it's Christmas time. It is, you know, the time. Obviously, it's the Sunday of peace, which I thought I was going to be preaching more about love than anything. But as I went on, it kind of was peace, love, and a few other things. So first things first, theophany is a word. I actually just came to me as I was just doing a little bit more research this morning. Comes up in this several times in the Bible. It comes from the Greek word theos, which means God, and diaphanous, if I'm not butchering that, means to appear or to show oneself. So shows up a couple times. Basically, it means the visible manifestation to a human from God. So actually, I was going to have Joseph read Exodus 3, 1 through 6. So if you want to turn there, that'd be awesome. Burning bush of Moses. There's a few times the word doesn't show up in the Bible, but the meaning, it shows up, you know, several times. This is probably the most common. So Joe, if you want to read that, it'd be awesome.
Priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, it was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses, and he said, Here am I. Or here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God.
Appreciate it, sir. So yeah, that's one of them few times. I mean, that is God in the burning bush. I mean, a lot of times the Lord would send angels, you know, to speak to people. But that is kind of the biggest one that stuck out to me on that. So I'm going to tab that, put that in the back of our heads. Going to continue. So last week we were talking about, Uncle Gabe was preaching, talking about, is it works? Is it faith? Is it both? What gets you to heaven? And a verse that immediately came to my mind, and actually Ray beat me to it, wherever he's at, Ephesians 2, if you want to turn there, Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 10, kind of sums it up to the best that, you know, I can think of. And that goes, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all have once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature and children wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love for which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, so that in the coming ages he may show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk with them. The big highlight verse I want to go back to is verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love for which he loved us. I was reading that last Sunday. That just kind of jumped off to me a little bit. I confess I hadn't really started. I had started, but I hadn't really gotten to the point of what I wanted to 100% preach on. And, you know, as Uncle Game was talking, I was like, okay, Lord, I think, you know, this is going to be the main passage that I want to, you know, bring it to. So there's a lot in that, but it's pretty clear about God's love all throughout the entire Bible. I mean, in so many cases, Psalms 136, 2, Exodus 15, 13, feel free and look those up if you'd like to. Exodus 26, Numbers 14, 18, those are just some Old Testament scriptures. But the list goes on, and it's pretty evident, I think, everywhere throughout the Bible. Obviously, God is a loving God, but also, you know, we're supposed to have, you know, fear and respect for him. The Bible talks about it a ton of times. I have no idea how many times it talks about God's love for us. Internet doesn't have that. I tried. I didn't feel like reading through the entire Bible yesterday, so I didn't do that. But by grace you've been saved through faith. By God's love for us you have been saved. I mean, that's just amazing. I mean, as I was in Scripture yesterday and praying, Anna was nice enough to deal with a couple of the kids yesterday morning, and the only two kids. There's not a third one. Not yet. But Anna was nice enough. We've been doing a Bible study every Saturday morning with a lot of the guys, Joseph, Ben, Isaac, Dan, when Dan shows up, but it's okay. But we've been doing a Bible study every Saturday morning, getting up really, really early, and I am not a morning person, never have been, probably never will be, but I have been, every single time, I've been awake, I've been present, and, you know, I don't know if that's just happens to be it, or if that's a Lord thing, you tell me. I'm going to choose to see that, you know, it's God giving me the endurance to, you know, be able to be present there, whether it's on 3 hours of sleep, 6 hours of sleep, 8 hours of sleep, you tell me. Like I said, I was talking to the boys about kind of what I've been going through a little bit, talking with Joseph and Josh, I think 2 weeks ago now. And that was just eye-opening. Getting their perspectives on some things was really, really appreciative too. So if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that would be great. Give you a couple seconds to get there. So if I speak in tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gang of clanging cymbals. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, And if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I was a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but when face to face, now I know in part, there I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three things, the greatest is love. So I read that yesterday morning. I had no intention of reading that today. But one thing I had made a note of a few months back, actually, I'd kind of just compiled some things I thought I was going to talk about. And childlike faith was one. And that is just something I've really been working on in myself and my personal faith of lately, is just to have, you know, obviously the Lord has got us. I mean, with the election year, that's always been kind of fun and evident. But just having childlike faith, it's amazing how, you know, I could tell Ellie just about anything and she would probably believe me, whether it's true or not. And can that be dangerous? Yes, but also when it comes to this aspect, I think we all need to strive to be more like, not just Ellie, obviously, but all have childlike faith in the Lord's got us. There's no need to be anxious about, you know, who's going to pay my bills? How am I going to pay my bills? When will the money come in? Who's going to be the next president of the United States? You know, it's all fine. And that's just something that I've had to work through, and I'm sure a lot of people else have. I mean, I know anxiety is a very, very big thing in the world today. Just seems like, you know, there's so much to be anxious about. But at the end of the day, why worry? I mean, half the stuff we can't control. Some of this we can to a certain aspect, but at the end of the day, the Lord's got us. And that is just something I read yesterday, and that just really, really spoke with me. So that is just, at the end of the day, childlike faith, never doubting that we are His. So one thing I will say is a few weeks ago, actually, it was a late night. It was probably 1 o'clock in the morning at this point. I was in bed trying to fall asleep, just wrestling still. What am I going to preach on? And I was nervous and I wasn't quite sure yet. And, you know, of course at 1 a.m., you know, your brain is never, you know, what it should be doing. So my mind was going, okay, I've got this bill I need to pay for, you know, what's this? And then I started questioning some aspects of my own faith, which I normally wouldn't do, I can tell you that much. And I found myself, this was probably one of the coolest moments of my life. I was praying, and just immediately, just out of the blue, I just found the words, Jesus saves, and it came to me. And, those two words came to me, and immediately, I've never felt a more peace of mind, more better comfort than at that moment. And I spent the next hour just praising God. I was in bed. Anna was asleep right next to me. She had no idea. I wasn't going to wake her up. It was so cool. And that comes back to theophany, is having an experience with God. And I can tell you firsthand, 100%, the Lord was right there with me. And it wasn't anything crazy. It was stupid things, but I just felt God's presence there right on me, and it was amazing. And I'm sure everyone else has had some experience like that, and it's cool, I find, throughout the Bible, throughout our lives, modern day, that I think when we need Him most, He shows up, He's there for us. And that was 100% one of those moments. So this went a lot quicker than I intended it to, but in closing, excuse me. So, in closing, Jesus saves. It's a time of love. It's a time of peace. I guess this is partially my personal testimony of lately, but it's something I felt like I was called to share. But no, it's as simple as that, guys. Jesus saves. That's how Jesus saves us. This is how we get unending peace. It's how we get unending grace. And by having childlike faith that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Ben, if you want to come up and play. We're going to sing Waymaker after this. So if you bow your hands and actually stand, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the body of Christ we have here, for everyone that you put here who's may not normally come to church, or who may not normally come to this church in particular, but I just want to thank you for them. We thank you for your love, God, that you have us and have for us, your unending grace and mercy that we never deserve. You sent your son down and saved us, and we didn't deserve that. There's no reason that we should, but you did anyway. And I want to thank you for the fact that your unending love never runs out and that you are the way maker for us to live through our life with Christ, with you. And at the end of the day, that should be the goal of everyone's life, is to be walking with you, to be planting the seeds for everyone else who is a non-believer, who may not, you know, have their faith 100%, may not have the full conviction that they are yours. And I pray that if there is any doubts in anyone's mind here, God, I pray that you would silence those. I pray that, you know, this message may have hit home with someone. But in your name I pray, amen. Rest.